I just want to say what an honor it is to be in front of you all here. I was thinking about that driving up. For God to put me in front of you on a Wednesday night, it's like the most mature saints. You know, that's about the only people that come out, like the hardcore, like Pastor Moore used to say. And I always feel like I'm up here like, do I really deserve to be up here in front of some really wonderful saints? So I just am humbled by that. So I just want to pray, Father, I am humbled by that. And I just would ask again that you would use this servant, as Pastor Moore said, to bring forth your words only, your thoughts only, and your heartbeat only, Father. Let everything be of you, none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, I guess we'll just start out with reading a few scriptures here. If you'd please turn with me to kind of set the premise for tonight. And the first one is out of 1 Samuel 16:7. And if you have trouble finding 1 Samuel, it's right before 2 Samuel. Okay. I always feel like I'm required to do a little bit of stand-up here before I start. But this is God's word, and it's a beautiful word, so. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, it says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." And then we'll find a scripture in Psalm 142, verse 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Father, please, I just ask that you would bless this message with your heartbeat in it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems like the only way I can ever be up here is because of something that's happened to me or something that the Lord has done in my life, and I can just kind of share that with you. I'm not really a preacher. I don't really consider myself a preacher, so I'm just going to share with you this. There's been several people that have been coming across me, my life very, very recently, and I think God is using that to kind of teach me a little bit of a lesson. And it really is about not looking on the countenance of a person, nor their physical stature, but looking on their heart. And there's been so many people lately. I'm just going to give you a few examples because it's really amazing. I mean, I'm going to start out with one that we saw on Saturday over in Troy. Josh and I were talking to this man. And he was, you know, he had the bandana, and he had these pointed studs all in his lip and the nose ring, dressed from head to toe in black, studs in his ears, you know, studded, whatever it was. Huh? Lewis, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you look at this guy and it's like, well, I don't know if, you know, should we talk to this man? And then eventually, he showed us this picture on his iPhone. And he had shaved his head, painted his face all red, put the little horns on him, and all the world looked like a picture, that caricature kind of picture of Satan. And it's like, oh, my goodness, so wow, this guy must be evil. He must be this or that. And we got to talk to him. Come to find out, he's a pretty rational kind of guy. I mean, he was talking about the mayor over in Troy and how there's a housing situation that really needs to be fixed, and talking about his son and talking about how he's a carpenter. And, you know, he sounds like a pretty normal guy. He says, I'm a very hardworking guy. Very hardworking guy. And if we just, you know, Josh and I had just gone without his physical appearance, we would have missed an opportunity to really share God's love with this man, because, you know, he needed it, you know? I mean, if you're putting pictures on your iPhone of, you know, people dressed up as Satan, it's like, okay, he needs to know that God loves him. There was another, and along this line, too, I got to tell you this. When I was in the Hannaford afterwards, after Sunday service, you know, I had my nice white shirt on. I had my teal tie. And I was going into the Hannaford, and there was this couple walked in, and this guy, I mean, he had this straight black hair all over his face, all dressed in black, had sunken cheeks. His girlfriend or his wife, I don't know what she was, she had all the makeup on and all the black, and it was like they were lit. They must have been witches and warlocks. I mean, they really were. And she was going through the avocados. I wanted to buy an avocado, you know? But she was going through the avocado, another avocado, one after another, and I'm standing here, you know, oh, come on. And then all of a sudden, like, ding, 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 maybe that's your opportunity to say something, you know, to them, because they're right here and they're not moving. So I said to myself, this might be a really good opportunity, because somebody who might be involved with witchcraft, you know, maybe they see somebody with a white shirt and a nice pretty teal tie on a Sunday afternoon. Hey, they might just be a Christian, and they might not want anything to do with me. So I go over, and I say, you seem to be very particular about your avocados. And how do you pick out an avocado, you know? And I really don't care all that much about how you pick out an avocado. You know, they're kind of all the same. They get ripe and they taste good. But, you know, she started to tell me, and she was the most articulate young lady. Oh, okay, here you do this, and you look for this, and you don't look for that, and you don't look for this. And I said, my gosh, if you just looked at her on the surface, you would have shied away from her. But she was a very articulate young lady. And I said, okay, you know, that's like two people. And there's a third person. And he was a man that, you know, I can't give names here, obviously, because this is going on tape, but he never seems like he's happy. You know, it always seemed like he has a chip on his shoulder, like, ah, oh, gee, they're doing this again, and ah, oh, gee, they're doing that again. And it's just kind of a bummer. It's like everything is against him all the time. Everything is against him. And, you know, I just tried to befriend him and just talk to him and love him up and share with him. And we went out for coffee one day, and it turns out that many, many years ago, like 25 or 30 years ago, his wife left him, took his kids, and for the last 30 years, he's never seen his kids or his wife. And I said to myself, wow, you know, this man is hurting. It's like, no wonder he's that way. No wonder he's that way. He said he's got a wound in his soul that goes as deep can be when your kids have been taken away from you, never seen again. And there was this other man, I wish I could give his name because it's anyway. He's always railing about everything. You know, it's like he has such a sour countenance, so sour, you know, he's always railing about politics and about this and that and this and that. And it was the same kind of situation. I every time I'm with him, I try to, you know, try to love him up, try to be kind to him, try to share with him. And I had a chance to finally share with him one time, and I said, you know, sir, the Lord has really laid you on my heart. And he goes, ah, you know, like that kind of thing, like, oh, here's this little kid again giving me one of those fancy Christian aphorisms, and ah, oh, you know. But the thing about it was, and right after I did that, just showed a genuine care, like, you know, the Lord really, really cares about you, and he's put you on my heart. He shared about a family situation that he had, where some of his family members just almost like disowned him and just would not want to have anything to do with him. And I'm thinking to myself, there's another wound. There's another wound. And if I had just gone on the accountants, if I'd been thrown, you know, by his whatever you want to call it, his negativity, I never would have had a chance to share that with him. But the message is, a lot of, like it said, you can do nothing against the truth. And the truth of the matter is, when you love somebody like that, that's when they start to open up and they start to share with you. And that becomes really a sacred trust, that they would open their hearts and their lives up to you to share with you like that, with their burdens. And then you can come in with the love of God and really, really begin to minister to them. And, oh boy, I don't know if I should go there or not. Okay, I'm going to go one place here. We'll get political for a second here. There's a certain candidate from last election, and a lot of people have very, very little good to say about her. And what she may do from time to time, or what she may do all the time, may truly be evil and, you know, not anything of God in any way. But I heard a story about her that, and I guess you probably know who this is by now, that her father was so cruel to her that if she forgot to put the top back on her toothpaste when she got done brushing her teeth, that her father would throw the toothbrush and the toothpaste tube out in the snow and make her go out there with bare feet and just stand there and either brush her teeth there or get it back. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, I mean, if your father was that cruel to you, is there any possible way that you could believe that when you hear our Father who is in heaven, that you could have any kind of a good thought of God being loving in any way? And I said to myself, no. And I know that, you know, that's not an excuse for what she does. We're all accountable. But can you imagine the wounds that are in her soul from that kind of opportunity, you know, from that kind of experience with her own father? So how could she imagine that, you know, our Heavenly Father would be any different? And I thought to myself, now why is it that you can look at these people who are always gruff, always negative, always evil, and why is it that we can love them? And the reason is because for us, our love is not separated from truth. You know, out there, there's a sentimental love. It's emotional. It's sentimental. But our love is based on the truth. That, like it says in Genesis 1:27, that these people were created in the very image of God. God literally breathed his life into these people. His life, his breath is in these people. They're created in his image. They're precious to him. Even though we may not see that on the surface, when he looks at their heart, he sees somebody that I've created. And that's really, I guess, a really brief message that we're it. To say it very succinctly, we're it. We have a very, very special kind of love because it's based on the truth of God's word, that God is love and that God can't help but love. And it's based on the truth that we know where people are going to go if they don't come to Christ. I mean, there's this one scripture, and I'll read it for you. It's kind of heartbreaking. It's Luke 16:24. And this is the rich man, and he says, and he cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And, you know, if that is the destiny of so many people, then we can love them because their soul is precious to God. And you know that Jesus Christ would come and die for us. You know, like it says in Romans 5:6 and 5:8, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the sinner. He died for these people. As, you know, gruff as they may be, He died for them. He died for them. And if we have his love, we can love these people even in that condition. And it might take a little bit of time. You know, that word long-suffering is Michelle's favorite Greek word. Right. Makrothumia, long-suffering. And I brought this example up before when we were in Mechanicville about the rescue dog syndrome. And there was this one lady on our street who had this rescue dog. And every time you get near it, you just raise your hand and try and pet it. Ooh. I was so used to being beaten, so used to being beat up that it would just recoil every time you tried to get near it. And you wanted, and the thing about it was, you wanted so desperately. I mean, we all love little dogs. I mean, everybody here loves dogs. Everybody loves cats, little cute little things. And we wanted so desperately just to be able to pet the thing. But every time we got near it, it's like, whoa. And the fear in its eyes, it would look up like, are you going to hit me too? You know, and I thought about, isn't that the way so many people out there are, you know, are... People are being beat up in this world right now. People are being beat up, and they're wondering, when we get near them, are we going to beat them up too? Are we going to come at them with criticisms, and we're going to tell them that they're going to hell in a handbasket if they don't repent? Well, yes, they are, but we can speak that truth in a loving manner that will draw them to Christ and not push them away. And anyway, the story goes is we had a chance to meet this dog over and over and over and over again. Every time we got near it, we just tried to love it the best we could, love it a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And every time we got near him, he would just be a little bit more welcoming to us, a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And it took months. It took long suffering, even though long suffering really refers to people. It took long suffering. But the dog, now, when he sees us, he runs toward us. It's like, oh, here they go. They're the ones that love me. You know, they're the ones that love me. You know? And isn't that what we want to be known as, the people that love them? Yes, we have to love in truth. We can't love out of truth. We can't be sentimental about it. But wouldn't it be great if all the people out there, the unsaved people, when they saw us coming down the street, they go, here comes Mark, you know, here comes Taylor, here comes Bea, here comes Pastor Moore, here comes Joanne, here comes Veronica, here comes Teresa, here comes Josh, here comes the DiMatteos. You know, I mean, wouldn't that be great if that's what we were known for, our love? You know, in that verse, in Psalm 142, it says, you know, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, and so many people, I've learned out there that so many people, and I don't even want to pretend that I know what happened, but we had a funeral for a young man here about a week and a half ago who took his own life. And I was talking to Chris DePisa. He knew this young man when he was younger here. And I didn't happen to go to the wake and funeral. I know Pastor Moore did and some other people did. But he said there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I thought to myself, and, you know, again, I don't know the situation, but just hypothetically, the tragedy of having hundreds and hundreds of people go to a funeral knowing that they cared for you that much, but this man didn't know that anybody cared for his soul. Well, when we love in truth, we don't just love because of sentimentality. We love because we care for their souls. We know where their souls are going. They have two places to go. And we care for their souls like no one else. That's why our love is special. And that's why I just, again, say to all of you, we're it. We're the light of the world. We're the hope of the world. Nobody else out there loves. Nobody out there can communicate a love to people like we can. Because, you know, like it says in Romans 5:5, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given us. Not our love. It's God's love. You know? And God does, He wants nothing more than for us to receive his love and just be in communion with him all the time. If we know that, we won't have any doubt that God cares for our soul. And people out there just don't know that, and that's why we're here. You know, like it says in the book of Esther, who knows, maybe, you know, we're here to be brought into the kingdom for this time, for this purpose. We know in the last times the love of many will wax cold. Why? Because iniquity abounds. Aren't we seeing that today? Iniquity abounds. And the love has grown cold. So I'm just, Carmen had a beautiful example too here. I'm going to bring example of you up. Yes, Carmen. I won't bring the microphone over to you. Don't worry. But thank you, she says. But, you know, she texted something about a man where she works, opened up to her about the problems she was having the problem he was having with his family in Puerto Rico, I guess it was. Was it Puerto Rico? He hadn't heard from his family yet? Dominican Republic in Puerto Rico. He hadn't heard from his family yet. Why did he come to Carmen and open himself up like that? Because he saw in her Christ's love. And he knew that he could trust her to reveal something personal to her that maybe nobody else would even care about. I mean, maybe we care about it a little bit, but do we really care enough to listen? You know, Pastor Rick Cohen said something, I'll never forget that. He was in the studio with Pastor Moore one day, and he said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And it is so true. If people know that you care about them, they'll open up to you, and they will share things with you that people have shared with me. It's like, you got to be kidding me. But it's because they know I care. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that same thing, that people will open up to you when they know that you care. And that's what's so beautiful. And then we have the opportunity to really go deeper with them. And there's one more person I just want to bring up. About a wound in the soul. There's a neighbor of a person that I know. And I went over there, and I just wanted to talk to him. And I went over there. He was hoisting a flag, one of these half-size flags, you know, and he was having trouble getting up. And I noticed when I went over there, there was a Liberty Bell right next to it, too. And I asked him, are you a veteran? And he says, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, there's the flag, there's a Liberty Bell, probably. And I asked him, what branch of service were you in? And he said, do I look stupid? And I said to myself, well, I better not say yes, you know, because I don't know him that well. So I said, no, you don't look stupid. Well, which branch do you think then? And I said, well, maybe I'll try Marines. And he said, yep, you got it, Marines. And I was thinking to myself, it's a good thing I wasn't an Army guy, because I would have decked him for saying something like that, because, you know, well, if we're in the Marines, we're smart. The Army guys are dummies. Well, it's a good thing I wasn't an Army guy, you know. But the thing about it is, he served over in some place in the 60s, and he came back, like many people, and he saw when they came back, people spitting on them, you know, when they served them. You know, when they served this country, he saw the veterans come back and be spit on. He had that wound in his soul. He had that wound in his soul. And if I didn't just, all I did was just try to care about him. I thanked him for his service. I said, I really, really appreciate that. It's really, really good of me. It's really, really good of you to serve me. You know, and I said to myself, you know, because of your service, I'm here free. I'm here free to talk to you. And we kind of left it at that. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is, too, when you meet people, if you ask the Lord for an in, and how to approach them, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. Because only God knows what's really going on in their soul. And I said, Father, how can I approach this man? He's kind of a tough guy. You know, he's an ex-Marine. He's not really friendly, what you call friendly. And he said, well, you know, the Lord said, just like his sacrifice allowed you to be free, Mark, tell him that my sacrifice allows him to be free from sin, from guilt. And I said, wow, that's cool. I wish I could have thought of that, you know. But, you know, he's God and I'm not. And I just thought that was such a beautiful thing. So the next time I get a chance to talk to him, you know, he can relate to that. That's something that he could relate to, that his sacrifice produced freedom for somebody else. I can tell him that the love that Jesus had when he went to the cross for him, that sacrifice for him produced a freedom, can produce a freedom from his sins, from his guilt, from being in hell for all of eternity, really. And I want to say there was this, and then the man had a family situation, too. I asked the same thing. I said, Lord, how can I approach this man? And, you know, just like Mark, you know, I laid him on your heart. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'll reveal something. Okay. Anyway, God will give you an in with people because he loves them. And he knows the key to unlock their heart like no one else. All I have to do is ask, and he'll give that to you. And like I say, we're it. You know, from Carmen to Veronica to Pastor Moore to me up here, all of us, we're it. You know, they have no other hope. There's nobody else out there that cares for their soul. They may care about this and that, but nobody cares for their soul. But because we love based on truth, we do care for their soul. And we can communicate that through our love and through the truth that we can give to them. So Hebrews 10:34 says, let us exhort one another, provoke one another to love and good works. And when I was thinking about it, I got provoked to do this because it's so fun to love people. It's so fun to see that unlocking of their souls and begin to receive from us, receive our love, because they are so wounded out there. Just like those rescue dogs, they just cringe every time somebody tries to come near them. But just love them and love them and love them. And they'll start to come to you with a wagging tongue because they know that's where they're going to find the love. So, Father, I hope this is your heartbeat. And I just ask that you would cause us not to look on people's statures, not to look on their countenances, but to look at their hearts and understand that so many people out there look to the left and look to the right and find that refuge has failed them. There's nothing out there in the world that can fill that hole in their soul. And so many people believe that no man cares for their soul. Make us those shiny lights on the hill, Father, that we can tell people and show people by our love and our truth that we express to them. We do care about their souls. We are a peculiar people. And I just ask that you would anoint us all here to take this to heart and just go out there and share it. God's love is the most dynamic force in all the world, Pastor Stevens wrote one time. Let's let it loose. Help us to let it loose, Father. Help us to let it loose. And for anyone listening on the internet, if you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart, made him the Lord of your life, made him Savior, I just want to encourage you right now to do that. He loves you so much that he literally, voluntarily came down out of heaven to become a man for the sole purpose of seeking and saving that which was lost. Going to a cross where he was brutally beaten, and he endured all that because of his love for you. And I just would encourage you, just reach out to him and say, Jesus, yes, I may be a sinner, and I am one, but I know you've paid for all of my sins, and I just receive your sacrifice that makes me free from all of that. I just accept you as my Savior. Come into my life. Live within me. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. Bring me into that loving, welcoming communion with you. And help me to know that I am now a child of God. And if you have made that decision, please give our church a call. The number is on the website. Just would encourage you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.